Welcome everybody to this edition of O365A. Today we're going to cover some new capabilities that have recently landed Microsoft Teams. Before we jump into that, Habib and Michael were at the big UC event Commsverse and they delivered a session. So why don't we just get a quick update on how that event was?
Yeah, it was my first time attending Commsverse, and it's actually my first time speaking outside of North America, so it was a great event for me to attend. I actually hadn't been to the UK in like 16 years, so Hab and I took the opportunity to do some sightseeing the first couple days while we were there, also to get over jet lag, and then have our session. And we did a session around planning large-scale account provisioning for Microsoft Teams rooms and devices. So we had that session kind of the first day, but it was an amazing event. Glad I made it out to that. The attendance was great. They had a lot of expo vendors. So it reminds me of the old kind of Link conference days where it was kind of a focus conference on just everything to do with like Microsoft Teams, and just so many people to talk to that are kind of all that same focus area. There's also all the side activities. We got to do a couple laps around the track there because it was at Mercedes-Benz World. So it was an amazing venue as well.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I had a good time as well. A lot of vendors. Michael and I took advantage of the, they had like a little thing going on where you had to stamp your card to go and talk to all these different vendors. So we talked to 20 plus vendors there, understood their technologies. A couple of them have some really, really cool stuff. So look forward to that, having some of those vendors come on the podcast. So just keep an eye out for that as we get them scheduled and recorded.
Awesome. And we can post the link to the session you guys did at Commsverse when we release the blog equivalent for this episode. With that, let's dive into some new capabilities with Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365. So Habib, why don't you kick us off with Microsoft Loop?
Yeah, so it's funny, you know, came back from the from Commsverse, and once the the Loop app was working now, the desktop application. So then, you know, I was given this nice little message here. It says, "Hey, unlock Loop before you can use the app. You got to enable it by your administrators." Okay, well, what does that mean? So I didn't realize that there's policies and things that you need to have in place and pushed out, to get this desktop client working. So. Yeah, when you click on this link, it brings you over here to like learn how to enable Loop app in public preview, and it walks you through it. But I'm going to demo it here for us today. So basically, it takes you to Microsoft 365 app apps admin center, where you have to create a customization policy for Loop. So what they do say is that because it's in public preview, and if you want to just have a select group of individuals piloting this particular desktop application, then it's probably worthwhile to create a Microsoft 365 group and then just add the specific individuals that you want to have pilot the desktop application. A lot of people within your org around the adoption space, understanding that kind of capabilities, so they can help build like an FAQ, so when it does go public and you do go into production, you have all your material ready to go as well, and sort of understand sort of like the use cases that maybe your organization may or may not utilize it to help build that adoption strategy. So once you have that already set up, then you just come into this specific web URL. It's called config.office.com. And then you're going to go to customization and then policy management. And notice here, I do not have any policies here in my tenant. So I'm just go to click on create. And then you can call this, MS Loop public preview, and go next. So then once we go next, then you can scope as far as who you want to have this applied to. So is everybody within the organization? policy, configure supplies to a specific user specified group, which, you know, if you are going to use that capability to just trial it before it goes to production, this is the option you wish to select, and select add a group, and then continue on. So I'm just going to say applies to all users. Okay, and then there's 2,210 policies in here. Thankfully, they actually have a search field so that you can just type in loop, and then you can select all the different ones that you want within here. You click on every item, every option. So it's create and view loop files in Microsoft apps and that support loop, create and view loop in workspaces in loop, and create and view loop files in Outlook. And you'll need to enable all three of these options. And then once they are enabled, they're set as configured. And notice that they're published in the application there. And then once you're done, you go next and basically review and publish, and then it gets pushed out. And so the documentation does state that it does take roughly an hour for this policy to get published and get pushed out to all your user base. So just take note of that, that it may take some time in order for them to get the updated experience within the Loop app. So with that, once the policy has been pushed out, then pass it over to you, Michael, and maybe give us an understanding about the meeting notes experience.
Yeah, just to go on the same line of the Loop apps, Loop app is, I think it's installed from the Microsoft Store, or it could just be a web app, loop.microsoft.com. But what has also been announced is in preview, public preview, is collaborative notes in Microsoft Teams meetings. So if you've activated the public preview, we have sessions talking about the policies to kind of control who can turn on preview or not in Teams. When you go into and book a Teams meeting, so we'll just create one right now. Let's call this test. And you'll see now we have this new field kind of below the kind of where we would normally put our agenda if people are kind of putting that information in their meetings. But we have this actual agenda line now. So when you click on that, you can actually specify your agenda that's kind of built on these loop components. And so this could be co-editing, it could be done in multiple places. So it kind of gives you that real-time kind of collaboration of these features. So you can say, like, we're going to talk about project one, two, maybe we have action items, and then maybe we have a project plan to be assigned to, and you can at mention people in the document, and we're going to set a date for tomorrow. So if we hit send, now when we go and look inside our meeting invite, so we'll go to our calendar. We can open up that. If we scroll by, we actually will see this set of loop components that are kind of making up that collaborative notes. So we can actually edit this right within Outlook. We can edit it within the Teams meeting if we join the meeting. Do without audio. So you can see now we have this panel for our meeting notes that are also based on that same information. So action item two or something like that, with my spelling mistake, correct that. And so other people could be in the same set of notes, updating that, and we're getting those real-time updates occurring right within everywhere that component's exposed. You can also take the component and copy it and send it to put it in other locations. So it could actually be embedded in a Word document. So maybe you have a document that you're working on as part of the project, you can have the meeting notes as part of that kind of embedded in the document. It works in an Outlook item. So if you created like an email, that was an event. So the great thing is it's like a OneDrive link or a SharePoint link. And then when it gets put into the Office documents, it renders the components. Now, I haven't seen this work in OneNote yet. That may be because I wasn't using the desktop client for this, but this would also work in those in the actual Loop app. So if you were creating your own different workspaces, maybe for different projects, you can actually put all these components into that Loop app, and now you can have all your agendas for all your meetings, you know, kind of in one client experience. So it'll be interesting to see how people work with this. I'm all a fan for meeting agendas. So having the ability to have a set of list items to talk about for the meeting, as the meeting's going, adding items, you know, as we talk about Copilot and some of those recap features, having AI, you know, put those also into the agenda or collaborative notes. I think this could be pretty powerful to kind of make sure that the meeting lives beyond that actual call. Some things I did find that were maybe a little bit struggle, and this could be because it's in preview. The Loop components, although we've had them in Teams for quite some time, you can go under a user and you can kind of see the Loop, and you can add these specific components. Adding the link, similar to how I was doing, oh, it's working now. So as you see, public preview, you never know what's going to change. But before, this wasn't rendering for me. So now that's rendering right there, that's fantastic. So before, I had a struggle of not being able to do it in private chat. So that's already there. You can see who can access it. So it's similar to like a Word document that you're co-authoring in SharePoint OneDrive. You can see the people interacting with the different components. You can modify the sharing access. Right now, I believe it is restricted within your tenant, but it is being stored in OneDrive as a special file type. So hopefully that gets unlocked to be able to expose that to, you know, members that might be outside of the organization that are collaborating on projects.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. What's the experience like if you were to include that meeting invite to somebody that didn't have Loop, like another org? What are they
saying? Yeah, I think right now it's blocked, but I haven't tested it recently. I tried it earlier on in the Loop preview, kind of before when the components just came out. I haven't tried it with the meeting notes just yet. The other thing I did note is if you have a reoccurring meeting, so say we have a meeting that repeats, let's just say every day, and we're going to just do test loop 2, not 32, but 2. So there's two versions of the agenda. So I'm not going to edit this one just yet. I'm going to save it and then open it. So when you double click on a meeting in Teams calendar, it's going to default to the occurrence. And so if you create the agenda here, it's actually going to create the agenda for the specific occurrence. And so it's going to be a dated component. And this item is going to live for that occurrence. And it's not going to be kind of in every meeting that you join. So if you are doing, you know, a series, it might be actually better to edit the series. And then when you modify the agenda, it's actually for the series versus the occurrence. And now you can have an agenda that floats across your meetings. The big thing I found out is if you did go into the occurrence, create a set of agenda items for that meeting, and you join in that meeting and you realize, oh no, we want the series collaborative notes, there wasn't a way to flip out of that. So you want to make sure you're putting the notes in the right kind of space, either the occurrence or the series, and kind of living with that experience. So what we did was we accidentally put it into the one occurrence, and then the following kind of session or the following meeting, we put it in the series, and going forward, we just stayed with the series. So if there's an occurrence, it's going to default to the occurrence. If there isn't, it's going to use the series, but make sure you use the right one because you can't change it midstream. Okay. With that, I'll throw it over to Kurt unless there's any other items.
No, that looks great, Michael. Something I wanted to talk about was exciting world of auditing. So people are probably familiar with something called the Microsoft 365 Unified Audit Log. There are a couple of different audit logs available in Microsoft 365. This is probably the most widely used one. It captures thousands of user and admin activities across all the Microsoft 365 workloads. Actually, I shouldn't say all of, many of those workloads. I had used the audit logs many times before for a variety of purposes. One was to try to figure out from a licensing perspective whether it's worth up licensing users for a higher level add-on for things like Microsoft Project or Planner. And the trouble was, up until this recent announcement, there was little to no coverage for Microsoft Planner, Microsoft Project, and Microsoft To Do. There were a couple of events, but nothing that really gave a good broad spectrum view of what was happening from a user and admin perspective in those workloads. So with a recent announcement, which was based on a message center announcement, so that'll be available in your tenant, you can now audit events for Planner, Project, and Microsoft To Do. So this will be highly welcomed by many administrators who use this audit log. You can use this audit log, by the way, through the Microsoft Purview Compliance Center. And you can see these new events if you're licensed for it, and I'll talk about that in a minute. You just go create a new audit search, and you can actually see these events pop up. And specifically for Microsoft Project, the audit events include things like creation, deletion, access to the project, and they'll start rolling out on June 8th, those audit events. Audit for Planner, it'll start rolling out, it should have rolled out at the end of May 2023, so you should see events like read, created, modified, deleted a plan. And for Microsoft To Do, you'll be able to see when a user has updated or deleted actions related to tasks, subtasks, and they'll start rolling out. It should have rolled out June 12th, so it should be in your tenant. Now, the big controversy here is around licensing. Like many times with Microsoft licensing, it's not easy to understand. It can be hard to figure out, and I'm not a licensing expert, but basically to get these new audit events and activities, you need a license that includes the new audit premium capability. Now that's included in E5. So if you have that, you're good from that perspective. I've read that it also requires the user to have a Microsoft Project Plan 1 assigned to the user, even if you're just capturing events for To Do and Planner, which is a bit odd. And there's been a lot of discussion online whether that's good or bad. And some people don't like it, just because the thinking is To Do and Planner, that those should be workloads that just have auditing built in. You shouldn't have to require that that project license to have that capability. But either way, right now, that's what's required. So it's nice to see these audit events finally surface, though, because I know some administrators have been waiting for this. So that should be enabled in your Purview Compliance Center. With that, I'll pass it over to Dino for some updates.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. Just a housekeeping item to start off with, Channels 2.0. Initially, Microsoft had talked about having the Channels 2.0 experience, and that's for those of you that may not have heard of Channels 2.0. Basically, you're revamping the way a channel looks, and instead of having to scroll to the bottom of a thread, you're now seeing stuff from top down, basically. So net new stuff appears at the top, pushing older items to the bottom. Takes a bit of getting used to, but for those of us that are consulting and in many tenants, some tenants are in 2.0, some are not. So initially it was supposed to be by mid-June, the rollout was completed worldwide, but they've suggested that it's going to be early August now for the majority of tenants to be rolled out. And I think if you're in GCC or GCC High or DoD, they are also impacted as well. So have a look at that announcement. Moving on to tagging in Teams. So tags or tagging has been a feature that's been around for quite some time, and the ability to tag is basically like the ability to create a group of people and at mention them. So I have a tag in my tenant called Oakville Office, and it has a couple of people in it. And when I at mention it, it just automatically hits those people up, saving me from having to type, at Kevin, at John, at Mateo, that type of thing, those three names. So I can just say at Oakville and grab those people. So before that, that was managed on a, before this change, you would just set that on a team by team level. So in team settings, it's just a setting that you would apply. And you could change it, you could make basically say that owners could manage those tags or owners and members of the team. So there was never any global management of it. So this new announcement allows for an admin to go in the, into the team's admin center and set the defaults for tags. And we have the option to do team owners, like you can set team owners and members. Team owners are not enabled. You can turn off tags altogether now. So have a look at this carefully, because if you've already done extensive work with tags and it's different teams are set to different things, you may want to consider this maybe what the impact will be. Obviously, if you turn it off, it could have an issue. I would recommend making the change to the default setting, saying, you know, net new tags will just be team owners. But if it, you know, there's another setting that will say team owners can change who can manage tags, and you can have an override. So it may be a good idea to leave that turned on so that the owner of the team can always undo a setting if there is something changed for them. Lastly, this just sort of quietly came in, and this the ability to set your location in Teams. And you now have a dropdown if you click your avatar in the Teams client, and you can do this both from your desktop client or the mobile client. You can you have an option now to set your location where you're working, and it's either going to say office, have a little building avatar icon, or remote. So, you know, with this back to work and hybrid kind of working scenario, this allows you to set that location. So now you can kind of, without asking somebody, hey, are you in the office today or not? Like if they're available, you'll see that they're remote, which generally indicates they may be working from home. But now you can indicate you're in the office as well. So I think that's kind of interesting. I think we'll see a lot more of this stuff coming out in terms of supporting the hybrid work functionality. So you don't have to set it. It's available now. I've seen it available on desktops, the mobile, and on Teams phones. So you can set it from any of those different clients. And that's it for me.
Very cool. Dino, do you know that that location setting, does it show up in any of the Teams reporting or the call quality reporting, or is that just purely just client?
It's a good question. I think it's just a visual at this point. I have a feeling that there's going to be more coming with it. Maybe I'm reading something into it. I'm not sure, but it would be interesting to be able to know that, to run a report saying, well, where users currently working.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see what comes about with that.
Cool. All right. Well, it's been a while since we've done a What's New in Teams session. So that was really good. Covered a lot of good capabilities that were recently introduced. So thanks, everybody. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks.